Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us in the Sunbury Motors Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. On the P-Solar Hotline being used by us to dial out today. You can dial in eventually here at 1-800-795-9565. We'll rejoin by Rich Scarcella, the Reading Eagle. Just a few more questions, Rich. I want to start with expansion. The Big Ten going to Rutgers and Maryland at 14. A lot of people envision 16. What are your thoughts on expansion?
Well, we can all kick and scream and say it should be, there should be 12 teams in the Big Ten or 11, or, you know, some people don't think it should still be 10, but it's inevitable. I mean, that's where we're headed. We're headed for super conferences. We're headed for 16-team conferences. So having said that, I'm okay with Maryland and Rutgers. I don't know what other options there were, really, in the East. I mean, I think, for me, for selfish reasons, that means two shorter road trips.
Right.
I think it's fine. I think maybe Pittsburgh would have been a more interesting addition, than say Rutgers. But you know, Pitt's on its way to the ACC, and you know, who knows if that's going to change. The interesting thing to me is who are going to be Team 15 and Team 16 in the Big Ten.
Right.
Could it be Kansas? Could it be North Carolina? Could it be Georgia Tech? I don't know. I mean, there's some of the schools that have been thrown out there.
Exactly. And with Jim Delaney made a big point about Penn State being the bridge to get to Maryland, mm-hmm. and the bridge to get to Rutgers. Well, now they've turned east and south. Mm-hmm. Does it make sense they still continue to make the turn south with a bridge?
I mean, it might be. I mean, where else? You have to see what schools would extend the footprint, as Delaney has said. What TV markets could the Big Ten add? And you know, I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know. You know, do they go north? You know, does Boston College, do they make overtures to Boston College? I don't know. You know, that's a huge TV market. Atlanta, do they want to go that far south with Georgia Tech? I'm not sure, but I don't think it ends at 14. I just don't see that happening.
No, I don't think anybody does.
Pardon me, Steve?
I don't think anybody does.
Yeah, yeah.
Heisman voting. When you get your ballot, I mean, would you ever be hesitant? I'm not going to ask who you're going to vote for, because you can't do that until you actually vote. Would you be hesitant to vote for a redshirt freshman?
I would not hesitate to vote for a redshirt freshman, but I do not know who I'm voting for yet. I really have to sit down and look at it. But the fact that that Johnny Football's a redshirt freshman, that would not stop me from voting for him. How about you?
I don't have one. Not allowed to have one.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not. Or at least Dave Jones said I'm not. He said that because we're paid by the university to broadcast the game, so that's the reason why.
Okay.
I wouldn't have any hesitation at all. Just like I voted for Anthony Davis for the Wooden Award last year as a true freshman, I don't see why a redshirt freshman can't win the Heisman Trophy if I think that's the best player.
Yeah, I have no problems with that. I know some people will. Which I think is unfair. It just says the nation's most outstanding player. It doesn't say what class he's in. So I would not stop me. I just don't know. I honestly don't know what direction I'm going. Right. I have to really sit down and look at this. And this is the most wide open race that I can remember in a very long time.
Yeah, long time. Because obviously Manti Te'o is going to get a lot of consideration. He's arguably the best player on what is currently the only only undefeated BCS eligible team.
Mm-hmm.
So, before I let you go, your thoughts on covering Bill O'Brien, the job he did, and how he handled dealing with the media during the course of the season.
I think the job he did will be remembered for a long time, not only at Penn State, but in college football for a very long time, the job that he's done so far. I think, you know, obviously, Bill and Joe Paterno are very different people, big difference in age. It was a big change there. He's different, but there's some similarities. You know, I think I've enjoyed covering him. He's been pretty open with us. So I've not had any issues with him at all up to this point. So but the job that he's done, it's coach of the year worthy. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah, I don't think so either, because I don't think any other coach had to deal with all. Look, everybody has to deal with issues and so forth, but
these circumstances are extraordinary. They are unprecedented, and that's why I think he should get consideration for Coach of the Year. I don't think he'll win it, National Coach of the Year. It'll be interesting to see the voting when the voting comes out tonight for the Big Ten Coach of the Year if he gets it. But I think he's worthy. He's worthy of the Conference Coach of the Year Award and the National Coach of the Year Award.
All right, moving forward, the final question for you, and you can't really, it's hard to crystal ball it, but after a season like this, despite the sanctions they have to face, do you think the program is far better off than you ever thought it would be heading into this area where it's going to be no bowl 65 for a little while?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now, it's better than I expected. You know, it'll largely depend, too, on this recruiting class. If Bill and his staff can keep the commitments that they've gotten so far, I think it'll be in better shape than I thought. Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy these next 2, 3, 4 years. But it's in better shape than I thought it would be.
Rich, an absolute pleasure. I look forward to talking to you again, and thanks for the insight, because you certainly gave us plenty today, as always.
Steve, my pleasure. Anytime.
Rich Scarcello, Reading Eagle. Great to have him on. First time we've had him on the show, as a matter of fact. Won't be the last. This is where you can jump in and say hi.
Right now? Right this second?
We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
While your favorite team is driving down the field, you're driving all around looking for a new car, which is driving you crazy. Well, Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices. Our North 4th Street Auto Plaza is stocked full of Ford, Lincoln, and Hyundais. We sell over a couple hundred cars a month. Why? Service and price. With our lowest price promise, if you can find a better price and another dealer on the used car you want, we'll beat it. That's a promise. And our Tire Rewards program gives you your next set of tires free. Shop the largest Ford dealership online 24/7 at sunburymotors.com. Then stop in and test drive Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury and our Kia dealership at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And be ready to tackle the largest inventory and our lowest price promise, selling more cars and satisfying more customers since 1915. Sunbury Motors, sunburymotors.com, the winning team.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Kevin Herr back in tow. The caboose.
I have not been leading the ship, I can tell you that right now, or leading the train in that analogy.
Well, I want to thank Rich Scarcello for being with us today with his great insights. Meant a lot to get Rich on the show. Good friend, been a longtime friend. And to have him on was just terrific. And we'll get him on at a later date as well. Tomorrow we'll have Adam Rittenberg of ESPN. Tony Mancuso. Thursday, Nate Mink, Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. Looks like we have high school football coaches as well.
Yeah, we'll have Jim Kaiser on Thursday at 3:15. You'll be able to catch that here on WKOK, or if you miss it at 3:15, you can catch the podcast at SteveJonesShow.com.
Exactly. So you can do that as well. Well, great to have everybody on board today. Now the phone line's open at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. And the Lenape Solar Hotline, powered by Lenape Solar. You can go to LenapeSolar.com. Spending my afternoon in the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Did you have to shovel the walkway into the Sunbury Motors studio?
No, did not. Did not. Got a dusting here. It snowed steadily all morning, but never more than a dusting. The roads were just wet.
Yeah, there's about 2 to 3 inches here in the central Susquehanna Valley, so we saw a significant amount of snow. All right, well, maybe significant might be a little bit of a stretch. But
okay, Maryland's going to go to the Big Ten, but the ACC has filed a lawsuit against Maryland seeking full payment of $53 million as an exit fee. According to the 10-page lawsuit, the ACC said the school must pay $52,266,342, which is three times the league's annual operating budget for 2012-2013. In a statement, Commissioner John Swofford says the ACC's council president unanimously decided to file legal action to ensure enforcement of the obligation. Well, gee, Maryland's still a voting member. I can't imagine they voted for it.
That's one vote against.
Maryland's one of two schools that voted against the increased exit fee. Florida State was the other. Maryland not returning calls. The fee was around $12 to $14 million before the league announced in September 2011 that it would add Pittsburgh and Syracuse in the Big East, and which led the league to up the fee to $20 million. But Maryland President Wallace Lowe told the Washington Post that he voted against the increase connected to the Notre Dame move because he thought the higher fee was illegal and philosophically not a good idea. He also called it an exit penalty. Maryland is expected to join the Big Ten on July 1st, 2014. Meanwhile, North Carolina has been the center of a lot of speculation. They're claiming that they're going to stay. North Carolina Athletic Director Bubba Cunningham sent an email reply to Tar Heel fans in an attempt to calm the flurry of rumors that had UNC possibly headed to another conference. The email said, "Thank you for your recent correspondence regarding conference affiliation for the University of North Carolina. Conference alignment is a topic of much discussion nationally these days. We understand that our fans are passionate and knowledgeable of their sports programs. Carolina is a charter member of the Atlantic Coast Conference, and we believe the ACC is the finest conference in the nation. The ACC has been our home for nearly 60 years, and we want it to be our home for another 60 years at least. Our speculating on what other leagues may be better for the Tar Heels would not be productive. We are part of a great league with a strong future, and we know that the ACC leadership is serious in its efforts to strengthen the conference and position it for long-term success. All of us in the ACC, including the league office and individual schools, continue to carefully monitor the changes that take place in conference alignment. But again, we are proud members of a great league and are looking forward to many more years of success in the ACC by the Tar Heels and other ACC schools." ACC charter member Maryland, of course, announced last week they're leaving the conference, prompting a flood of realignment rumors. Tulane says it's joining the Big East in all sports in 2014. East Carolina says it wants to join the league in football that same year. Meanwhile, the WAC made a huge move, gigantic. Grand Canyon State. What?
Wow.
I don't even know where Grand Canyon State is.
Let's see. Well, where's the Grand Canyon? might be somewhere near there. That'd be my guess.
Gotta Google the darn thing. Grand Canyon State.
I'm guessing Arizona.
Let's see. I keep getting weird.
Where's the Grand Canyon?
I know exactly. He's telling me that it's carved out of the Grand Canyon State University Athletics. All right. Good news. They're called the Lopes.
As in short for cantaloupe?
Antelope, I would assume.
Oh, well, I'm, same antelope. Idea.
Antelope. Let's see.
The Lopes.
Grand Canyon State to join WAC. Okay. Where in the heck is Grand Canyon State? It's in Pahonix. Wow, that WAC always wanted to get into the Phoenix market. Actually, the WAC was in the Phoenix market at one point. Arizona State was in the WAC.
Let's see. Grand Canyon University is a private Christian university in Phoenix.
Learning options as diverse as our students. Earn your degree from Grand Canyon University.
And this would be their first year in division, well, FBS, when they do move to the WAC. Because I don't think that they're not a FBS now.
Well, it says here, request more information. I put your name and address.
Oh, good. Thanks. I appreciate that.
Grand Canyon. So the antelope, you thought it was a cantaloupe?
No. I was not saying it was a
cantaloupe.
On the side of
the helmet?
No, that's, I meant lopes as in you were saying lope. I wasn't sure if you said lope. And the first thing that came to mind was cantaloupe, not antelope. But I understand the reason you would, you know, call them the lopes, short for antelope.
Grand Canyon University will join the Western Athletic Conference next year. The move is contingent on Grand Canyon completing the reclassification process from NCAA Division II to Division I. The Antelopes will begin regular season play in 2013-14, but won't be eligible for championships or postseason games. Interim Commissioner Jeff Hurd said, "We welcome Grand Canyon University to the WAC and look forward to helping them make the transition in becoming a highly competitive Division I institution. This is another important step in the rebuilding process of the WAC as we continue to strengthen the conference. Grand Canyon will become the conference's sixth member for 2013-14, joining Cal State Bakersfield, Idaho, New Mexico State, Seattle, and Utah Valley University." It's not the WAC I remember.
No.
Wow. That's that wasn't exactly earth-shattering. Wow, that's
what is it? The Big East is looking. Who else was looking to leave? Was it leave the Big East? Let's see, I'm trying to think. I thought somebody else was looking to leave the Big East here very, very soon. besides everybody,
I mean, UConn be one.
UConn, that was the one, because they were the concern was the Big East would lose one of the major TV markets, and that would be an expensive one when they're trying to renegotiate their TV contract.
Right. Yeah, everybody wants the Hartford market. So, actually, Hartford's not a bad market. It's actually a pretty good size market. Are you saying, for those of you who watch, for example, Fox News, Bill O'Reilly?
Right.
Bill O'Reilly was an anchor in Hartford for a few years.
Graduate of Marist College.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but that's, you know, so they've funneled some big-time talent through there. Ted Leitner, who's the play-by-play voice of San Diego State and also does the Padres on radio, is also a Hartford, you know, Hartford market graduate. Really cut his teeth there. So, I mean, they've produced some pretty good people out of there.
Where's Hawaii playing now? What conference are they in?
They're in the Mountain West, aren't they?
The Mountain West. They used to be in the WAC at one point, weren't they?
Yeah, they were in the WAC.
Okay.
They were the WAC at the 16 teams at one stage. And that's when they had to change up. Yeah, Hawaii's in the Mountain West. So.
See, this is what I'm talking about. You need a list every week of who's where, and then you have to update it every week, it seems. This is crazy.
I know it is. I know it's crazy. You know, it's really sad. In some ways, I mean, it's No. Do you need 16 teams in a conference?
Well, how long is it before you end up with four, maybe five mega conferences, and that's it? I'm talking right. football now.
I mean, if you want, I'll answer that after the break when we have more time. But if you wanted, for example, to bring some rivalries into the Big Ten, you would bring in Iowa State and you would bring in Pitt. Okay? But financially, it makes no sense to do either one. And here's the reason why. Iowa already has the entire the state of Iowa for the Big Ten Network. 83% of the TVs in Pennsylvania get the Big Ten Network. Pitt doesn't get you the other 17%. I mean, if that's what it comes down to, televisions and demographics. Final half hour coming up on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. The Lenape Solar Hotline at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Lenape Solar. Go to LenapeSolar.com. Dave in Sunbury's on the line. Hi, Dave. Thank you for waiting.
Hi, Steve.
How are you today, Dave?
Okay. Well, that little conversation about the WAC conference.
Yes.
Well, that used to be your father's WAC conference, but just plain WAC now.
Yeah. Well, they went to 16 schools, and then they had the breakup where 8 went to the Mountain West, and they've been struggling ever since to keep some sort of existence going, and they're really just cobbling together schools right now.
But when you're taking people that are not even in your own division, you're going down to Double A, Division 2 and 3. That's ridiculous.
They're making the move up. Like, for example, San Antonio's made the move up as well, so they need a place to land. I mean, that's fine.
Okay, yeah. Well, I want to talk to you about something else.
Yes.
It was in ESPN that the city of San Francisco wants the city of Los Angeles to shell out $1 million for that gentleman that had that, how he was so badly beaten around, in the parking lot.
At Dodger Stadium. Yeah. In the Dodger Stadium parking lot, yes.
But why don't they go get a hold of Mr. McCord and have him give him $1 million? When all that billions he got out of that deal.
Well, he's not responsible for that. Look, it comes to a point where the individuals who did it are the ones responsible for it. It's not the responsibility of the Dodgers, the city of Los Angeles, or anything like that. It's the responsibility of the person or the individuals that beat him up. They're the ones responsible.
Okay, yeah, I understand that. But when the city said that they want L.A. to give him $1 million for him, medical attention, all that other stuff that they helped him out with.
Yeah, well, I'd have to read it all, Dave, to understand. I'm sure there's some complexity to it, but I'd have to actually physically read it to see if, what the reasoning behind it is.
Yeah, well, and as far as the coach of the year, I know you have a vote. I heard the names, as far as the Big Ten.
Yep.
Well, for me personally, hands down, it's Bill O'Brien.
Well, he certainly has had to deal with more than anybody else.
Well, then Ohio State and then the Nebraska coach. I said, that's ridiculous.
Well, Ohio State was 7-6 last year. They're 12-0 this year. You have to consider it.
Yeah.
Nebraska's coach, Bo Pelini, they're at a crossroads midseason. He said, look, we have to win out. They won out. They won their division. That has to be considered. Pat Fitzgerald, the Northwestern, they go 9-3. Their three losses, they led in the fourth quarter, late in the fourth quarter of each game and lost. So they were that close to being 12-0. So other people should get at least praise for the jobs they did.
That's true. Okay. Yeah. Point well taken.
You know, I mean, do I think Bill O'Brien is? I mean, I can't reveal my vote, but he's as deserving as anybody.
Yeah. It's just what all he had, you know. And I still get a kick out of, you know, the NCAA was slapping all that sanctions on Penn State. And all that illegal stuff that went down in North Carolina, as far as academics, and they gave him a brush off on that.
Yeah, I don't understand what the reasoning was behind that. Maybe at some point we'll find out, but I was very surprised by that. Dave, thanks so much. Appreciate your time today. And let's go to Tony in Shamokin. Tony, thank you for waiting. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, good afternoon. That last guy was saying about the Dodgers and the city of San Francisco, we're all familiar with that. The person responsible or person are not the ones ultimately responsible, if you know what I mean.
Who's ultimately responsible? The security people or the ball club?
The people that did it are responsible. That's what I was saying.
The people that did it are the ones who were responsible.
They're the ones, but they always seem to skate anymore. When there's a bigger fish to fry, they always want to go after them. And I think that's got to stop. But you're talking about conferences. Do you remember the conference Joe Paterno proposed a few years ago?
Oh, sure. I probably interviewed him 3 or 4 times about that one-on-one back in 1981 about that. He wanted it to be Pitt, West Virginia, Penn State, Syracuse, Boston College, Rutgers, West Virginia, and Maryland, and Temple.
That would have been a great conference.
Yes, it would have.
And what's going to happen to Pitt, Syracuse, and I guess West Virginia? I mean, they got to travel to Texas for most of their games.
Well, the money is such today, Tony, that the money's completely different today than it was back then. So the ability to travel teams by plane, you have the money to cover it now because of the television contracts. There's no doubt that West Virginia is getting exponentially more money in its move to the Big 12 than they would have had by staying in the Big East.
But what does that do for the fans?
Doesn't do anything for the fans, and you're absolutely right about that, Tony, because it's one thing about Maryland and Rutgers being invited into the Big Ten. That at least brought back for Penn State fans those days where they could drive to a road game, and they can now do it with Rutgers and Maryland and Ohio State now.
Exactly. And just one more thing. The Patriot News is at their games again. They have a reporter who come out with the story, will Bill O'Brien be back next year?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any truth to that story. I mean, to me, there's no doubt in my mind he will be back, and for many years to come. Why would the Patriots throw that out there? I think it's just to sell newspapers.
Oh, I'm sure it is to sell newspapers because it's exciting and dramatic. But, let's be intelligent about it, though. Let's start with this. Is Bill O'Brien a really good candidate for the NFL? Yes, he is, because he was a successful offensive coordinator with the New England Patriots, as high-profile an organization as there is in professional sports, and now he's proven in a highly difficult situation that he's one heck of a head coach. So he has that combination that is logical to talk about. But I'm with you. I don't think he's going anywhere. He has 8 more years on his contract here, and I expect him to honor it.
And I hope he does. And I'm pretty sure he will.
Hey, he's an honorable man, Tony.
He is. Have a nice day.
Tony, thank you very much for your call. Appreciate it. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. If you'd like to jump in with your opinion on the various topics that have been brought up today, 1-800-795-9565 and the Lenape Solar Hotline, powered by Lenape Solar. You can go to lenapesolar.com.
There may be an opportunity down the turnpike and out the turnpike a little bit, I should say, in Philadelphia for Bill O'Brien or somebody in the NFL, that's for sure.
Well, I mean, there's going to be a lot of speculation about jobs, but right now, exactly how many jobs are open in the NFL?
None, I don't believe, yeah.
That's why you can't. There's nothing to talk about.
Well,
now in January, well, there'll be plenty to talk about because there's always turnover and attrition in the NFL to begin with. It's just the nature of the job.
Well, I was just that leads me to my next question: how long will it be before we see the first coach ousted in the NFL? Will they wait until January, or will it happen before that, sometime in December?
Is this a question involving
Bill
O'Brien?
No, this is a question. This is just a general question. Obviously, Eagles fans think that Andy Reid's on the way out. Will it be this year, or will it be at the end of the season? There's some other coaches that are on the bubble right now. I just was curious for your opinion.
I don't see what good it does to get rid of a coach 75% of the way through a season. What's it going to do for you? I mean, what will it do for you?
Unless you hire somebody immediately.
I mean, you're not going to.
No.
I mean, to me, the hottest name in the offseason is going to be Sean Payton. Okay? I
wonder how comfortable Bill Cowher is sitting in the studio right now after so many years off.
Seems comfortable to me.
Sounds comfortable.
Yeah. It's a great job. It's a great job to have. It's a great job. So, you look at, let's face it. Let's go through the roster of guys. There are people that would say that Romeo Crennel is in trouble in Kansas City. They've won one game. Okay. Andy Reid in Philadelphia, I think everyone has talked about that.
Gone.
Over and over and over. Okay. Who else would be?
Norv Turner?
No, Norv Turner. I don't know, Danny. I would tell you right now, Danny, that is the Lazarus of coaching right there. that is the Lazarus of coaching. How he keeps landing on his feet is remarkable.
How long has he been on the bubble? I mean, let's be honest.
Since the day he took the Redskins job. Let's see. Obviously, Norv Turner. Ken Whisenhunt probably is okay. Harbaugh's fine. Carroll's fine.
How about Jason Garrett?
I don't know. I'm not so sure about that. I'm not sure about that. And would you really want to coach the Dallas Cowboys?
No.
The one thing with that situation, though, is Sean Payton just moved to Dallas, and Jerry Jones has wanted him for a while. So if he thinks he could get Payton, he might dump Garrett.
Well, Sean Payton's a different animal. I'm talking about thinking about Bill O'Brien here. Sean Payton's a different animal. He can handle anything. He was the offensive coordinator with the Dallas Cowboys, so he knows how it works. So that's a separate issue. That's a separate issue. I'm talking about people who are not familiar with that situation as to whether they would want to be in it. New Orleans is going to have to do something. I mean, does New Orleans change up from Joe Vitt? What are they going to do? Does Jim Schwartz survive in Detroit? What about Leslie Frazier in Minnesota? Chan Gailey in Buffalo? Rex Ryan with the Jets?
There's certainly a wide range
of possibilities. I don't know.
I'd love to hear a Jets fan say that Rex Ryan needs to stay. I think he's part of the problem there.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. I can't picture anything happening now because I don't think it makes any sense to have anything happen now.
Around the building, we were joking because of the Eagles' loss last night. One of the options that we thought wasn't going to happen for the Eagles was Gruden going to Philadelphia. We figured that one was definitely out.
Well, I mean, that was depressing. I mean, I can't blame him. Gruden's another guy people are going to talk about extensively. He's won a Super Bowl. He's had success. I've heard rumblings about Mike Munchak in Tennessee. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, the one that bothers me is John Embry out of Colorado in college football. He got 2 years. What in the heck can you do in 2 years?
You can't even get a recruit to make a difference at that point.
I mean, it's really 2 years. I mean, the athletic director looked at me and said, "We're not making progress." He said, "Well, look where I started from." You're still after 2 years trying to weed out, you know, and change the roster over. I mean, I can imagine he was probably hired in December and a couple of years ago, and, you know, there were probably a bunch of recruits they probably didn't want to let down, and they'd say, you really don't have much of a recruiting year the first year. Okay, you just don't. Yeah, he finally has his one recruiting class. He's working really essentially in his second one. So he's got maybe one and a half. Half of the first one is his, and obviously last year was lost. So he got one and a half. All right, you're done. You're not going fast. Well, what are you supposed to do? Can he bring the Broncos in? He would shake up the Pac-10 if they did that. Look at the quarterback. Matt Barkley, USC. Peyton Manning, Tennessee. Whoops. So, yeah.
Well, I just got this in, and this seems to be the a nice place to put this in, but Danville has now let everybody know that the high school office will have tickets for Saturday's game against Wyomissing at Hershey Stadium, 9 a.m. till noon all this week in the high school office. And they're trying to get together. This is a really great idea, by the way. They're trying to get together at least one student bus for high school students if they can get the chaperones and enough students to fill the bus. That'd be great to get a fan bus going to that game.
Yeah, that'd be fabulous. That'd be fabulous. Nice note. Oakland A's players have decided to donate one full playoff share to 8 local charities and national charitable efforts, a total of $34,325.16.
Wow.
Reliever Jerry Blevins, the team's player representative, informed the front office that he and his teammates voted to donate one playoff share to charities, including Hurricane Sandy relief victims. The other charities are the MLB Players Trust, Umps Care, Oakland A's Community Fund, Big Brother Big Sisters of the Bay Area, United Way of the Bay Area, Donnie Moore Ministries, and the Strike 3 Foundation. This is something, by the way, the Red Sox have done for years. They've always donated playoff shares to the Jimmy Fund, pediatric cancer research at the Dana-Farber Institute. All right, about 9:30 before the hour. We'll come back, wrap it up here on News Radio 1070, WKOK after this. Welcome back. Andy Katz reporting Cincinnati's making a push for the ACC. It's program for rent. How about that?
I read that, too. I wondered, it was still up for grabs whether that was actually going to happen or not. Or up in the air, I should say.
See, the Notre Dame thing is...
It has you bothered, doesn't it?
Well, I don't like when look, a conference is a conference. You're either all in or all out. You want to be independent, you're independent. Okay. Yeah, enough other conferences, you know, like the Mid-Continent and so forth, you can put your programs in. You want to stay independent in football. But I don't understand why you sacrifice... everything at in your conference because you're desperate enough just to have them involved.
Join us, please.
Yeah, I don't see it.
I think it's funny the year after West Virginia leaves the Big East, or they have potentially a matchup with Syracuse in the Pinstripe Bowl. It's just the way it worked. It's just funny to me. Those are the little things that I find amusing.
All right. Well.
By the way, I'm looking at all the bowl games. There's something like 30 bowl games. There are some crazy named bowl games. And it proves my theory that I had several years ago. If you have enough money, all you need to do is have the money and you can create your own bowl game. You don't need a reason. You don't even need a clever name for it. You can just name it yourself. I want the Kevin Herr Bowl. That's what I'm working on. And when I hit Powerball Wednesday, that's the first thing I'm going to do, is create the Kevin Herr Bowl.
How much is Powerball?
It's estimated to be $500 million. I'll have enough money. I won't even take more than a couple of million. I'll go up against the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl. The insert sponsor name here bowl.
There's a Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl?
Yep.
Where is that?
I have no idea. It's the it's going to pit the Big 10 or Big 12 and the Big 10. Probably going to be TCU and Michigan State.
Where is it?
I don't know. That's what I said. I see it on the list of bowls that I did a search for. I thought it was interesting.
Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl.
That's
really?
What it says. I'll look it up here for you. We'll find out more about it. Ah, the 24th annual Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl.
It was formerly the Insight Bowl.
There it is. That's what it was.
Oh, okay. That's in Phoenix, that old Sun Devil Stadium.
Yeah, well, why? Why do you call it the 24th annual when it's not?
Because it's the 24th annual game they played there.
Yeah, but you changed the name, so it can't be the 24th annual anymore.
Well, I mean, the game has not moved.
No, I realize. You know? I realize. You know? There's the Bridgeport. Here's my favorite. The Bridgeport Education Holiday Bowl.
Right.
At least they kept the name.
Right.
Let's see. There's the Little Caesars Bowl.
That's
in Little
Detroit.
Caesars Pizza. Yep.
It's in Detroit.
Let's see. The Beef O'Brady's St. Petersburg Bowl.
St. Petersburg. Yep.
Let's see. The Poinsettia Bowl now is the SD County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl.
Good.
The famous Idaho Potato Bowl.
Yeah, I like that, actually. It's in Boise.
Let's see. I think that's some of the more interesting ones. The names get longer and longer. TaxSlayer.com Gator Bowl.
My goodness.
Whatever happened to the Poland Weed Eater Independence Bowl? I mean, that was really, in my mind, that was the one that really started all the insert sponsors before the bowl game ones.
Yeah, put Shreveport on the map. I remember watching a game one night. It was in Shreveport because it used to be the Independence Bowl. And
right.
It was snowing to beat the band. And both teams were scoring, and it was a blast to watch. This is a lot of fun. I like this.
The longest bowl game award goes to the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. By the time you get that all out, if you're doing the game on radio and television, the break's already over.
Well, if you're on one of the radio networks of the teams, you just call it the Music City Bowl. You're not obligated to call up by the sponsor, but if you're the radio network that is put together by the sponsor, you're saying that baby all night. In fact, you're missing plays as you do it. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow on News Radio 1070 WKOK.